It's a place for great conversation. If you want to vent, share experience, good or bad, this is the place for you. You meet great people, and it's just an overall awesome environment. Don't hesitate to drop in anytime before 10 p.m., and you're sure to meet a smiling face. For more information, call us at 519-824-4120, extension 56911, or visit us at www.uogwolf.ca/Montfort, or join our Facebook group.
Tasha T, and you don't know anytime I'm in Guelph, I always tune into Nikki Dread and the Crooked Beat. All you mean, man, on CFRU 93.3 FM every Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. You don't know, we're gonna rectify the problem. Let's live and learn to solve them. We're gonna make it work together for the children. All you mean, man, 25 years of reggae revolution. Set it!
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the working week. My name is Scotty Hertz, and oh man, it's raining. Oh, the rain, it just keeps on coming. And yeah, what more can I say? I got here completely soaked, and yeah, it's a bit frenzied. But so goes the world. Yeah, so good start of the week, eh? That cold November rain. That's what Guns N' Roses were talking about. What's going on outside? So yeah, I have an action-packed show, and hopefully I can repack my action here and get things going. So further to that, I'm going to play you a song right now from Mr. Eugene Ripper. Eugene Ripper is back on tour. He is the champion of a genre we know as fast folk, and he's coming to Hamilton, and I will have the deets on that shortly. So here he is now.
Monroe, Virginia, son, you're running way behind time. This is not the 38, it's the old 97. Better get a dispenser on time.
Was Eugene Ripper with the record of the 97. And I know I said I would have the details. I'll have them for you later in the show because the details, let's just say they're sketchy. So there's all kinds of stuff happening this week as usual, even though it's November and we know that November sucks. But yeah, so first things first, I'm going to once again shamelessly promote my own event, or an event that at least I'm helping to organize. No, it's really, it's it's just me right now, with help from others, of course. But this is the second annual CLIFF, Canadian Labor International Film Festival, is coming. It is movies, fairly short movies, about the world of work and those who do it. I hosted it last year at Ed Video, and it went really well, I thought. Attendance was good. And anyway, the gist of it is, it's a bunch of films done by for the most part by working people, but from by various people about the world of work, obviously. And there's a huge variety of films. Some are as short as 3 minutes, and others are a little more documentary style, covering not just Canadian issues. There's a focus on Canadian issues, but of course, being an international film festival, there are international items being covered, topics being covered, such as battery workers in China, trying to start a union in Egypt, women workers in Pakistan who get a very, very raw deal, looking into the case of it's called The Curious Case of the Missing Recovery. And the host is not the host, but the star of it is Jim Stamford of the Canadian Auto Workers, who's a well-known economist. He was actually one of the point people on CBC when things crashed, and he's very good. He's, solid. So what else we have? We have films from Singapore and some about injured workers in Canada, one about neoliberalism, one about the United Farm Workers in the USA. It's actually a piece of a longer film. And one about union music, which is a topic after my own heart. So I'm going to be speaking a bit more in a bit more detail about the CLIFF on Saturday on Royal City Rag. This is part two. So I won't go into too much detail because, like I said, I'm trying to super compress things tonight. So much going on. Whoa, I don't believe it. Anyway, so here is Dave Ritchie, and he's going to speak a bit about as to why we need a labor film festival.
The film festival and labor history, what a great combination. It's going to preserve for us and for our and for those coming after us the hard-fought battles that have been won. But moreover, it's going to make them see that the relevance of the labor movement is as important today as it was from the very beginning. Because many of these same battles we fought 50 years ago. And you know what? We've kind of forgotten that. And we need to go back. I mean, we're now still fighting Medicare. I mean, this fight's long over. The Canadian public have long said this is an important issue. And yet politicians seem to think that they know better. Well, yeah, they know better how to spend my money on areas that I don't consider that should be spent. Healthcare isn't one of them. So, you know, we need to preserve that history and put it forward. The Labor Festival is going to be extremely important. This whole thing of us being able to be relevant. And that's what's more than anything. People are going to come out and think, yes, there is a relevance today. People are saying, yes, they were okay back then, but there's no relevance. Let me tell you, you only need to look at what happened yesterday to know that you are as important today, if not more so, than you were yesterday. So this is going to be extremely important for all of us. So get behind it, back it, in any shape way you can. This is a way of preserving our history.
And how could you say no to that? It is definitely a way of preserving our history, both here in Canada and around the world. So CLIFF, free Friday, 2 p.m., which is Friday. No, it's not Friday. Sunday, November 28th. This Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Guelph and District Labor Council office, which is on Woolwich Street. You know what? It's right off the street on the east side in the Matrix building, lower. And it's free. It is free. No strings attached. We will be taking a little bit of a whip round for donations just for maintenance purposes, I guess. So it's pay what you can. But if you can't pay anything or you don't want to, well, that's also okay. So got to keep the spirit of the thing free. So it's free. Anyway, speaking of the spirit, are you feeling the spirit yet? Have you seen the parking lots full of cars? Have you seen Santa Claus at the mall? Did you go to the parade on Saturday? Because Christmaka is upon us. It's coming like a freight train, like the old 97. It's in the vicinity. And it's normally November when it's we have a moisture event like we did today. It's rain, but it's snow, I mean. Well, what the heck am I talking about? I don't know. Really don't know. But anyway, oh, that's a good segue for the weather, actually. So let me tell you, the low tonight is going to be 12 with a few showers. Tuesday, the temperature will be falling to 2 degrees and showers. Tuesday night, a low of minus 4 with a chance of flurries. So that means all this wonderful rain we've had is probably going to freeze if it doesn't dry up tomorrow morning. Wednesday, high of 2, low of 2, 3. So it's getting colder, which means winter is upon us, even though it's still about a month away. Oh, yes, it's coming. So with that, as you know, this coming Friday is Black Friday. And Black Friday is the day where the absolute top amount of money is spent in the United States, and actually probably in Canada now, because we've sort of clamped on to the magic carpet known as Black Friday. So what happens is the Super Bowl is Thursday, and all the special commercials that everybody's excited about, that they pay millions of dollars to show on the Super Bowl. And I've said this before, I think I say this yearly, I've got absolutely nothing against football and people enjoying sports. Believe me, no problem with that. It's just the whole hype machine that kicks into overdrive on the Thursday before Black Friday. And of course, we know Black Friday is when all the shops just, it's, you know, it's been driven by corporate interests, I guess. And a couple years ago, there was somebody killed. We've talked about it, of course, on the Working Week. Trying to hold the hoard back. So, this is a job for Reverend Billy. And those of you that know me know that I am a member of the Church of Life After Shopping, and I know we're not supposed to push our religious views. It's not really a religion per se, but I am card-carrying. It doesn't matter. I'll never, ever, ever tell you what to believe. But Reverend Billy is also, let's call him a performance artist, and he has a tendency to get arrested a lot. So unlike, you name it, anybody who speaks up against insanity tends to get arrested. So here's a piece from our friends at Alt Independent Media. And I believe this was in 2007, which was the year that the worker was killed at Walmart holding back the hoard, or trying to. And Walmart still insists that it's nothing to do with them. It was a contract worker. It wasn't really Walmart's fault. But that remains to be seen. So anyway, no, it doesn't remain to be seen, but in my opinion. So anyway, let's let Reverend Billy do his thing in honor of Black Friday.
Arrested over 50 times for exercising the First Amendment, Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping Choir urge consumers to abandon the products of large corporations and mass media and build a more local, compassionate economy. Follow us to New York City as we take to the streets on the busiest shopping day of the year, Black Friday.
Understand that there's mystery, but not all of them understand the mystery, because we need to know where we come from, but where we're going. So one of the ways to attract new members into the labor movement is
converting from consumer confidence to community confidence.
Consumerism is a system that has to be broadly opposed.
It's not too late to save your souls, children.
Consumerism is a worldwide question. You don't just have super malls here in the United States.
We've all accepted that shopping is the basis of our life.
Each person here will be suffering thousands of advertising events every day. Change, hallelujah! On to the next transnational store!
What do we do, and what is the Church of Stop Shopping?
We call the Church of Stop Shopping a radical performance community, and it's a group of about 50 performers and artists and culture makers. We are a church in the sense that we gather in a space together and hope for the future and express a common set of values, but we aren't religious.
We meet every week. Every Sunday we have our gathering, and it's like going to church. But it's a big responsibility. It's a lot of work.
We call for people to evolve a local and more compassionate economy. When you have a diversified economy where there's some big companies, but also there are independent shops, there are neighborhood and community economies that are active, and that's a healthy neighborhood.
For many years, we have celebrated and commemorated and ritualized Buy Nothing Day, which is often known as Black Friday.
It's the Shopocalypse! Put your credit cards away, children. You don't have to shop! It's the Shopocalypse!
Black Friday bargain hunting trip has turned deadly.
All
all hell broke loose.
EMT surrounding a store employee trying to save his life.
The Long Island incident marked the first ever Black Friday shopping fatality.
Out at the Walmart in Valley Stream, Long Island, a young stock clerk who was charged with the responsibility of controlling the rabid consumers in the parking lot who are pressing against the electronic doors. Suddenly the doors burst open, and that young man was trampled and he died.
It's painful. Somebody died. A young person, a holiday temp worker. This company, Walmart, has a history of being ill-prepared in its security preparations.
And one of our faithful laughed, and I don't blame him. In years past, violence at the doors on the morning of Black Friday has been comic.
There has been violence before, and we have violence portrayed in our film. It was represented in society as a commercial venture. It was a feature documentary, a $2 million movie.
The first 5 minutes of the film, What Would Jesus Buy? It's sort of a montage of Black Friday shopping.
We just spent about $457 billion this holiday season. This weekend alone is going to be the busiest shopping weekend.
Billy and I were talking this morning about how profoundly differently we'll read those 5 minutes because of what happened yesterday in Long Island. Will we step back like wise, reasonable people, use this man's untimely death to really understand that we have to change?
We'll stay out of the chain stores and the big box stores. And we're not going to rush by each other and trample each other. We're going to give each other experiences. Share life this Christmas. Amen. Hallelujah. Change. Hallelujah.
That's the fundamental change we have to make, to understand what we need versus what we want.
This year we decided to use our Buy Nothing Day notoriety down in Union Square.
Shake your boots!
We have to be in Union Square or Coney Island, one of these two famous public places in New York, you know, every 6 weeks or so. One of the most important things we did, I think, was the conversation that we had afterwards, the culture making.
Dance!
Same people who were sort of resisting the dancing, and they were sort of in a passive, more consumer role with us. They were watching us. We were entertaining them. By the end, they were participating, and we were all talking. And that's really what we want to do. I mean, that's the ultimate goal of all of this, is that we are turning away from the advertising and talking to each other.
And there you have it, folks. A church, but not a church. And making people think about consumerism in particular and how it is all-consuming. Don't be consumed by consumerism this season. And that's just, in my view, a word from The Working Week. And I know that might seem odd or a bit contradictory that the host of a show that's all about working is also fervently anti-consumerism. But we all buy stuff. I mean, you have to. That's just how it goes. You just do. But there's shopping, and then there's shopping, right? You folks know what I'm talking about. I've been talking about this for years. And I always get up on the high horse around this time of year. I mean, I'm one to talk. I had to go buy a couple of things today. But you have to be conscious of it. You have to think about it. Be a bit more discerning. Don't believe the hype. Anyway, I have a multi-show piece coming up, and it's all about people who work on their own. It's the future. It's people sitting at desks and computers or whatever it is that you sit at, but alone. You're not in an office. The traditional structures that we know are getting phased out, and so many people are just out there on their own, freelance, whatever, or dialing into work to do what they do. In their underwear with coffee, with the cat sitting on the keyboard. That's the future. So I'm going to play a little teaser now on something I have coming up. It's going to take multiple shows. And I hope it's... Well, you know what? I will let the intro do the talking.
So good morning.
Good morning.
One and all. Thank you all for being here. I'm Susan Moya, the director of the Labor Resource Center at UMass Boston, and I'd like to introduce Annetta Argyris, who's our research director, and Kevin Renahan, who helped us set up, seems to have disappeared, but he's one of our work-study students. Tess Ewing is our coordinator of the Labor Extension Program, and Professor Terry McClarney is our Labor Studies professor. You know, it's a bureaucracy. Sometimes it's hard to tell exactly what people are. We are getting a new half-time lecturer position, the first official labor studies teaching position. We'll be getting it in January, and it's the first in, it's over 15 years, maybe closer to 20 years. We haven't had any dedicated faculty. So I'm running a little contest for people. It's on my Facebook page, to our Labor Resource Center Facebook page. Guess who the new professor is going to be. Of course, it's an open search and no one's been hired. But there'll be somebody coming in January. You can call me professor. Yeah, you can call me doctor. Call me doctor. Call me Dr. Moya. Let me say a little bit about the Labor Resource Center before I introduce Charlie in our presentation today. We have a research component, which this is part of. We're an undergraduate program, so we don't do fancy highfalutin journal research, mostly, a little of that. But mostly we do research that's relevant to the kind of larger questions we're trying to ask in the labor movement. And this is part of that. And I said to Marty today, Marty's kind of epitomized our target audience for these kinds of events, which is somebody who has a little bit of power, but not enough. And faces a lot of the big questions that are going on in the labor movement today, but perhaps is not completely solidified in his answers to those questions. So we really try to get people together in this to really kind of have some discussion and explore some of the larger and long-term issues. And we see it as a time of reflection. We do ask you to turn your cell phone off. And if you need to put it on vibrate and step outside, that's fine. But we ask people to just take a couple hours out of your very, very busy month, and let's share together and have some discussion. So we do these twice a year, and if you have ideas for what we should be doing, we have ideas for the next one. I think that we're pretty invested in maybe doing something on the public sector for the next time, because that's one of our big issues right now. But if you have ideas for what we should be doing, I was talking to someone, Annetta and I were talking to someone yesterday about, if you're part of a union or you're part of a community organization and you just don't have the room for that kind of reflective time, bring us the idea. And, we'll talk and see if maybe this would be a good time to do that. Example I gave was the whole battle amongst the unions about the BU Biolab. Rather than having everything kind of behind the scenes and everybody positioning themselves and then ending up in the public with some unions for it and some unions against it, even after that happens, maybe it's a good thing for us to get together and explore what our different interests are. I had a professor when I was in graduate school, Dick Levin, who's at Harvard, and he said one of the most important things that I ever heard, which is if people of goodwill and essentially the same goals can't agree, ask a bigger question. So that's what we try to do here. We try to ask a little bigger question that's relevant to what we're doing on the ground, but maybe not so rooted in that groundwork that we're entrenched in our own positions. Tess is the director of the Labor Extension Program, which provides training and education to unions and community groups. We have a particular focus on immigrant workers, and she's part of the statewide extension program. That's another part of our program. And then, of course, we have the Labor Studies program, which is in a major transition. Christine's in the middle of that transition. Marty's in the middle of it. Donna was in the early days of it. Elizabeth's near the end of it. So we have been a competency-based program that was very accessible to the adult working person who wanted to come back to school. Welcome, sir. That is changing. Our program is going to be a two-year upper division program. Bill's also in our program. Two-year upper division program, so it's going to be impossible for students to come into the Labor Studies program if they do not already have 60 credits or an associate's degree. We want to start getting that out. We haven't been making it public so much because we've been kind of going through the process and we want to be able to give students accurate information. It does not mean we cannot take the adult working person into the program, but it's going to be more difficult. It's not going to be the way it was. But, you know, I'm kind of one of those silver lining people. Another thing we're going to do, though, is we're going to have a minor in labor studies. And that minor is going to be available to the 12,000 18 to 30-year-olds who go to UMass Boston. And we sit around all the time and say, we need more younger people in the labor movement. Well, we're going to have an opportunity to reach that captive audience here. And at that point, we're going to want you to be involved in their experience, either through doing some classwork with them, maybe having internships and field placements where you work. We've had a field placement program for years, which really we don't use very much. Actually, Annie took one of those and ended up working for the IBEW. And that's kind of what happens. If you need a job, you take a field placement, you get a job, you don't need the field placement anymore. Working people, it's hard for them to take those field placements. But now we're going to have people who can actually go out and work with you and learn about the labor movement. So those are some of the changes we're going through. We still have our certificate program for those who are not so interested in the bachelor's or post-bachelor's. So back to thinking big, moving forward. This is our event today. Have I missed anything, Annetta? I'd like to introduce our speaker for today, who's Charlie Richardson, our friend and comrade and intellectual point person on the issues of the changing nature of work, and particularly how isolation and working alone is affecting people at work and people's attitude to work and also our opportunities to organize. Charlie is a former shipyard worker himself and one of the founders of the Labor Extension Program, the program that Tess and other people staff around the UMass campuses. And he's, semi-retired and is now working part-time for the Labor Extension Program and still for the steelworkers. And we welcome him to talk to us about working alone, protecting and building solidarity in the workplace of the future. Thank you, Charlie.
Well, there you go. There's the lead-in. I probably should have only played about 2 minutes of that. I didn't realize it was that extensive in terms of people that aren't speaking and you can't see, but it doesn't matter. This is done now. So could you tell she was from Boston? Did you hear that in her voice there? You sound like Jonathan Richman. It's coming up on the Working Week in the future, starting next week. Working alone. Because that is the future. Anyway, I'm going to jam in a couple events here, and then it's time to fly into the mystery. Of course, Cliff, next Sunday, 2 p.m., Labor Council office, Kazoo 107, Memory House and Mathemagic, and a DJ set from Walk, or maybe Volk, I'm not sure. Live music at 10, doors at 9:30, December 2nd at the E-Bar, 41 Quebec, 5 to 8, sliding scale, all ages, and it's licensed, brought to you by this station, CFRU 93.3 FM, and Kazoo. No, it's Kazoo. Tuesday, November 23rd, Urban Capture the Flag. That's tomorrow, 9 p.m. at St. George's Square downtown. I think I know of at least two people who are going to that, and I expect a full review because it sounds wicked fun. Thursday, November 25th is game night, 8 p.m. at 48 Alice Street in the ward. Wow, lots of changes coming to the ward, as we know, and that's something else we'll be talking about on Saturday on Royal City Rag on Saturday morning. I believe 8 to 9 is the slot. No, maybe it's 9 to 10. I don't know. You know when Royal City Rag is on. I should know when Royal City Rag is on. But yeah, so that's what's going on. Oh, and Lights is coming. Lights will be here Friday, November 26th. Friday, November 26th at Cowboys, Guelph. Buy tickets at livenation.com. And be careful when you log on to the internet to buy tickets, because it seems you go on the internet to buy tickets and it sends you somewhere else. This has happened to me. I was looking for some tickets, and I'm kind of old-fashioned where I like to go up to a kiosk and talk to a human and get tickets, but it doesn't work that way anymore. The internet prints tickets and sells them to you for, like, questionable amounts. Yeah, I was going to go to the Cup Final last night in Toronto, but I stayed in and watched it with my dad, at least the first part, and he said, oh, this is rubbish. So I went home eventually. Anyway, so that's the Cup Final. I believe Colorado won. No one cares, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Anyway, that's it for the Working Week this week here on CFRU 93.3 FM. My name is Scotty Hertz. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to leave you now with, of course, the BBC from BBC House in London. Thanks for joining me. Talk to you next week. And, take it easy.